This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And with you again today from now until 2 o'clock on Sports Talk 870. Welcome to our show. Later in the program, I know we've had a lot of guests this week, as we do today. I'm going to try to make some time for open line if you want to call us at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. And I'm throwing out a question to you today to think about for later in the show. With the events of last night in Bloomington, with Ohio State knocking off Indiana, which surprised me, didn't totally shock me, we have now a four-team logjam for second place in the Big Ten, Indiana leading by a game over Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State and Wisconsin. So if Michigan State takes care of business and beats Wisconsin tomorrow night, and Michigan State beats Northwestern Sunday, and you Spartan fans are in a position to root for Michigan to knock off Indiana Sunday to share the title. I've had a number of friends, Spartan friends and Spartan fans over the years that have told me with their green and white blood that they will never, ever root for Michigan in any athletic event, ever. So I want to know from you, if you're a Spartan fan and you need Michigan to knock off Indiana Sunday, will you be rooting for the Maize and Blue? I want to hear about that later in the show and take a little poll at 355-9527 if that scenario develops. We have Drew Valentine, who we missed out on at the end of the show yesterday because we had a miscommunication on the number that we hope to catch up with and have that conversation to start the show today. Alex Sharg is our producer. He's on the line with him now, I think. If we miss connection with him, we'll take open line right now at 355-9527 and take your opinion on, will you be, if you're a Spartan fan, rooting for Michigan on Sunday, and what your thoughts were on Ohio State knocking off Indiana last night. That was the upset du jour in this crazy Big Ten season. But we're going to talk college basketball right now, not of the Big Ten variety, but we're going to say hello to former Lansing Sexton star and now hard to believe a senior at Oakland University, Denzel's big brother, Drew Valentine. Hi, Drew. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Fred?
I'm very good, thank you. I can't believe you're a senior in college. My, how time flies, huh?
I know. It seems like just yesterday you were bringing our Team of the Week award to Sexton High School.
Yeah, Channel 6 has a Team of the Week. Were you a Team of the Week once?
Yeah, I was Team of the Week once.
Were you ever Player of the Week?
Yeah, Player of the Week, too.
Were you really?
Yeah. Mm.
And now you're a senior already, Oakland U. Man, it must seem like a blink of an eye. It was 10 years ago, and you were in junior high school anticipating your high school career, right?
Right, yeah. It's just, you know, it's gone by so fast. And, you know, I've been able to accomplish a lot. And, you know, this senior day that I just had, you know, I was just sitting in my room just reflecting on, mm-hmm. you know, everything that, you know, I've been through individually and, you know, with my athletic career, and it's been a wild ride, but it's been very, very good and successful career. And I'm just, you know, happy with, you know, all the hard work I put in, and can't wait to see what else my career has in store for me.
There's a mid-Michigan/Lansing connection on that Oakland University team. I've often wondered, Drew, and I'm not asking you to comment on this, why the Mid-American Conference schools in this state, who have all been very down, Central, Western, and Eastern, why they haven't recruited Lansing like Greg Campy has at Oakland U. He's gotten some good players out of here. Yourself and Travis Bader's there now lighting it up. Why is the MAC keep missing on these players?
You know what? I don't know. You know, all I can say is that, you know, Oakland, you know, with having the rich history and tradition of having, you know, all the mid-Michigan guys and having successful careers, you know, starting back to Derek Nelson, Jonathan Jones, and Eric Tangis, you know, those guys paved the way for, you know, this next generation of me and Travis. And we've just been able to carry it on. And, you know, Jalen Hayes is coming here next year from Sexton. And, you know, if there's any other, you know, good Lansing guys or mid-Michigan area guys, Greg Campy's, you know, definitely going to give those guys a good look because of, you know, the success he's had with guys from our area.
Well, you must have been recruited by the MAC schools, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely. But it didn't work out, and I guess you could say that things happen for the best, and I'm just, you know, happy with where I'm at right now.
This season started on a down note for you. I don't remember what stage, but very earlier in the year, you sustained, what was it, a leg injury? And I thought for a while you were going to miss the whole season.
Yeah, you know, I've just been going through some knee injuries, and It's been kind of tough on me. At one point, I was thinking about, you know, just shutting the season down and, you know, taking a redshirt year, recovering and getting ready for the next year. But Coach Campy asked me if I could be 50% and if, you know, I'd want to do that for the program because he needed me out there. And, you know, I kind of sacrificed a little bit of my own individual success and, you know, accolades I could have gotten, you know, for the better good of the team, just to be out there as a leader, you know, somebody to be vocal and just share my experience, you know, out there on the court with my guys. So it started off kind of slow for me, but I went from practicing, you know, and just going all hard at it all the time to I don't practice anymore. I just play in the games and I do, like, you know, rehab, physical therapy.
You don't practice at all right now?
No, I don't practice at all. I do is, you know, like, I do like some shooting, but, you know, it's, you know, pretty much just all catch and shoot, shooting drills. And, you know, I ride the bike, I swim a little bit, but, you know, it's all, you know, no practice. I mean, I'm there watching. I'm there kind of like an extension, like an assistant coach, because, you know, that's what I want to do in the future, is be a coach. So Coach Campy's asked me to kind of be a coach out there for the guys. And so I'm just at practice every day, kind of being a coach.
Well, that's amazing. I didn't realize you're done practicing for the year then.
Yeah, I haven't practiced in about, you know, a month and a half.
Wow.
So it's worked out for me, though. I've, you know, scored like 10 double figures in like 10 straight games. So ever since I've been practicing, I've been doing pretty well.
Drew Valentine is with us from Oakland University. It's worked out for the Grizzlies, too, because it took a while to get started. But as you got healthier, the team played better. You had a gut-wrenching loss Saturday in your season finale, but you've won 8 out of 10, and you head into the conference tournament this weekend, right?
Right. Yeah, we're just, you know, looking forward to it. Our level of basketball, you know, these are the time of the year that you look forward to. You know, basically our league's a one bid league, so no matter what kind of out of conference wins or schedule that we put together, it's all just in preparation for this conference tournament, because, you know, you got to win the conference tournament to get to the NCAA tournament, which is the ultimate goal. So we've just been putting in a lot of work, and like you said, we're kind of in a good position right now. We've beat the top. We're in fourth place in our conference, but we beat the top three teams. We split with them, and, you know, we just got our confidence, and we know that, you know, the pressure is going to be on every single team. And myself and Travis are, besides South Dakota State, who won our league last year, we're the only players in the league that have, you know, won the championship. So we've got a little experience, and we're looking forward to going out to South Dakota and getting this championship.
I saw you in Ann Arbor watching little brother Denz play Sunday. I didn't get a chance to say hello to you, but how cool is it to watch kid brother who you played against, your dad told me, with for the first time this year ever since the driveway games? How cool has it been to watch Denzel this year?
It's been awesome. You know, I even am surprised at how big of a jump and how well he's been playing this year. For him to be a freshman, being a major contributor for, you know, a team that's ranked number 10 in the country right now, you know, it's quite amazing. And I'm really proud of him. You know, I try to make it to as many of his games as I can. If not, I'm tuned in on TV going crazy. In my room, all my teammates always make fun of me because, you know, when Denzel's playing, I'm locked in. I don't pay attention to anything else. So, you know, it's just been a joy for me, and I'm just really proud of my little brother.
That's the coach in you, Drew, and I didn't realize until you just said that you wanted to coach one day. In that regard, what has it been like to have a coach as your father and have a coach in the family, and how much of your father is in you when you're on the floor?
You know, I'd say, you know, some of it is. You know, I've had, you know, my dad was pretty much my coach my whole life. So, between him and Coach Campy, those are two pretty strong personalities that, that I've.
Did I cut him off? You just showed me how to do that. Call him right back. I'll kill some time here and I'll tell you why. He just showed me before the show how to do this. We went over this four times. You talk about practice. We practiced this five times going into this. So we're on with Drew Valentine, and I promise I'll get this right this time, Alex. We'll draw Drew right back up. That's Error Host I was sure I had this right. I'm about to say so long to Drew Valentine because I know he has a class to get to, but we'll get him right on the line here to say so long for a second because I cut him off like a dummy. Just stay tuned. And on Sports Talk 870, we're talking with Drew Valentine of Oakland University with his dad having a big game tonight in his first round, actually the second round of the district tournament, as Lansing Sexton faces Perry tonight. And that's the Williamston District in Class B, and Lansing Sexton trying very much to be a part of this. We lost Drew for a second. Is he back? I guess he's not there yet. Are you there, Carlton?
Well, yeah, I'm right here, Fred. How you doing?
Yeah, I wanted you to say hello to Drew, and I messed up because I cut him off the line. I know he has a class. Hang on here. I think we got him back on the line. Alex, are we close? Anyway, Carlton, how you doing? How neat is it to hear? You've probably been listening to Drew, haven't you?
Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. That's a pretty articulate guy, man.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he represents himself really well.
I didn't realize he had coaching aspirations. Obviously, you've known that for a number of years.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, he's been a leader, probably a consummate leader. You know, a lot of people don't know that Drew was the quarterback at Lansing Sexton, and he holds their single season passing yards.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's he was incredible.
Well, I had this planned out for you to Drew, you're back on with us now. I had somebody wanted to say hello to you, so say hi to Pops before you go to class.
What's up, Dad?
What up, Mike? How you doing, man?
What'd you call him?
I got a nickname for my son.
What'd you just call him, Mike?
M-I-C-E, Mice. Drew Meister.
So Drew Meister.
Yeah, Drew Mice. Mice for short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, you got a class to go to, don't you?
Yeah, I got a class to go to.
You better tell him to get there, Carlton.
I never had to. He always took care of his own business. He's a good dude about that. He's good.
Drew, that was my bad. I cut you off, but I want your dad to say hello to you. Go to class, and thanks for your time today, okay?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks, Fred. All right, Dad, I'll see you later.
All right, baby.
All right.
All right. Well, that could have been a neat radio moment if I didn't screw it up. Anyway, Carlton, I've talked to you about this a number of times. You were somewhat conflicted this year. I asked you before the season or after last season if you were going to step down because I thought, frankly, with all you've accomplished with two straight state championships at Sexton and your one son, a senior, at one Division I school, your other son, a freshman at another, right at home, that would be a perfect time for Dad to step away and watch his kids play. Were you tempted to step away?
Yeah, I was, and you know, everybody wanted me to step away, but you know, I still have a passion for coaching and helping young people. So I mean, you know, everybody will find their niche in life and the thing they like to do, and this is what I like to do. You know, I like helping young players grow and develop. I like the process, man, and the end result is different each time, but I just love the process, man. I love watching kids develop, man. I like the way teams come together, man. I've been through a process with this several times, man, and you know, I just couldn't walk away at that time.
So now that we're into the season and it's near the tail end, and you're in the tournament, and Oakland's in the tournament, and Michigan State's a week away from the dance that they hope goes on another month. How many games have you counted that you've been able to see this year with Drew and with Denzel?
Actually, I've seen pretty much all of Denzel's games because their games are on TV. So if I haven't been at the Breslin Center, I've DVR'd the games, and with Drew's, I try to make to every home game. So I really didn't miss any Drew's home games because they play Thursday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. We don't play on either day. So if Drew and Denzel had a conflict, my wife and I, she went to one or I went to the other. So I got to see Drew play a lot. I saw Drew play a couple times on TV. You know, they played West Virginia. He had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basketball's been our family business for a long time.
I'm not going to ask you who of your two sons is better now because it's apples and oranges. They're 4 years apart. But who was better in the driveway? Who had more? Who was more competitive? Who wanted to beat the other kid worse?
Drew always won. Cause
did he?
He was bigger,
yeah.
He was bigger and stronger than Denzel until they got when Denzel got to like the eighth or ninth grade. We had to quit the games because those guys almost went to blows like a few times. And
did they really?
I told them no more one-on-one, man.
And really?
Not in the driveway, or we would be at the gym. And I said they would start playing against each other, and I'd be like, nope, we're done. Because I know what
them guys are so competitive. I knew what was going to happen in the end. So, you know, what we just started doing, and we just started working out, and they would work out together, you know, work on the game, go on game speed, work on jump shots, work on shooting off the dribble, off the pass, work on ball handling, acceleration moves, just different things like that. And then if they played, they would, you know, get a buddy and go 2-on-2. But none of that 1-on-1, Fred.
Well, I have a son and a daughter who are now 32 and 30, and I'm a grandfather 5 times. But they used to fight like cats and dogs, and I used to wonder, how is this ever going to work? And now they'd do anything. They'd go to they'd kill for each other now that they're – I imagine Drew and Denz were the same way, fought like crazy as kids, and now it's all about love, isn't it?
Not really. Them guys have never really fought like that.
Really?
No, they're real close, man. Drew and Denzel, we had them in bunk beds, man, until Drew got to maybe 6th or 7th grade. And then, Drew wanted his own room, so then they both had their own room. But those guys are like, really, really close, man. Drew has always been Denzel's protector. I mean, they have a unique relationship, to the point where, you know, those guys aren't jealous of each other. They don't have that kind of animosity. When it came down to basketball, though, Drew wanted to win, of course, because he's a big brother. But they've always rooted each other on and cheered each other on, you know. And that was something that I've always talked to them about, is you only have one brother. You only have one brother, and you make sure you love your brother, protect your brother. And I was always on Drew about that, and he took it to heart. And he, you know, he would never let anybody, you know, mess with Denzel. Or I remember one incident when we moved into our neighborhood and into our new house. That's when Pokemon cards were big back then. And this guy at the end of the corner took Denzel's Pokemon cards. And, I said, Drew, that's never going to happen again. You go down there and you make sure you guys take care of business. And I mean, I'm not going to tell you what they did, but I'll just say nobody in the neighborhood ever messed with Denzel again. So.
That's a classic story. Carlton Valentine with us on Sports Talk 870 on Valentine's Day in March. We just said so long to Drew Valentine. We're now talking to his dad, Carlton Valentine, who has big fish to fry tonight, playing in the Class B district at Williamston, facing Perry. Before I get to that, Carlton, I saw you at in the stands. You had a front row seat at the Lansing Catholic Williamston double overtime thriller the other night. I didn't see you after the game. Where does that game rank? I mean, you've been in a lot of games and seen a lot. That has to be top 10 in games you've ever seen, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you this one. That's the best high school basketball game I've seen this year.
Really? Yeah. How about ever? I mean, it's got to be up there, isn't it?
Well, I've seen a lot of games, and I'll tell you, it's up there. You know, I was excited.
Man, yeah, I saw you.
I found myself jumping up and down. Some of the shots they made were incredible. That three-pointer Dylan Rush made was incredible. And the guy, people started walking out of the gym. Yeah. And then Jimmy Codette makes that half-court shot with 1.8.
That had to be right in front of your face. You were sitting there, right?
Yeah, right. It was right. I probably could have reached out and touched him. It was really close to me. So, man, what a game. I mean, the emotion. I thought the fan support was just incredible. Yeah. That Williamson cheering section, those guys were loud. They were cheering. I mean, it was, to me, Fred, that's what high school sports and basketball is all about, was the atmosphere of that game.
It was incredible. I was, you know, I was covering that game. I was working, but I found myself feeling like, glad I'm there. I'm watching history here. This is really cool. I got caught up in it, too. That was something.
Man, I'll tell you what. Those were two good teams, man, and they weren't given an inch, man. You know, Williamson made some crucial mistakes at the end, a couple turnovers, and miss free throws, but you got to give Darren Zwick, you know, all the credit in the world. He knows how to get his team ready in March, man. And Lansing Catholic, to me, has always been one of the most well-coached teams in the area. Darren Zwick, probably one of the best coaches in the area. And they sure showed it the other night.
Lansing Sexton coach Carlton Valentine visiting with us for a few more moments. He's got a 5:30 game this afternoon right at that district, Williamston. 13-6 Sexton faces 11-10 Perry. We are headed to a likely showdown between Lansing Catholic and Sexton Friday night. But that's the media guy in me looking ahead, Carlton. As the coach, how do you prepare for a team, with all due respect to your opponent tonight, that you should beat? And how much of a concern is it for you as a coach that they're already looking ahead to Lansing Catholic?
It's not a concern at all, Fred, because we're not looking ahead. You know, we have to take
well, you're not. You're not, but these are 17, 18-year-old kids, Carlton.
Well, you know, what we do, and that's why we have practice, and that's why you have meetings, and that's why I was there scouting Perry, you know, and to make sure that the kids knew that Perry is no joke. And they're a good basketball team. What I told my team was that they play together, Fred. I mean, I was there for the whole game. Those guys, they work hard, they're well-coached, and they play together. Those kind of teams scare me. So, you know, I just make sure that I try to hammer the point home. But, you know, to your to what you're saying, you really don't know what teenagers are thinking. You know what I mean? The only thing you can do is try to prepare them the best as you can. You try to, you know, give them a good scouting report and show them what Perry does. And then we're going to play the game.
I see what Denzel is doing at Michigan State. Anthony Clemens had another big game for Iowa last night as they beat Illinois. He's a player of yours. You have three players playing Division I basketball right now. Man, it's no kidding you won two straight championships, Carlton. You should have been fired if you didn't.
Well, you know what?
I'm kidding.
I know you saw that Brent Forbes was named the Horizon League Newcomer of the Year.
I did not see that. I did not see that.
Well, yeah, he was named. It was posted on Monday, and then there's an article today in the Lancaster State Journal about it.
Very good.
Brent Forbes, and actually, I have six guys that are playing Division One right
six?
Now.
Six right now?
Yeah, I have Jordan Hauenstein, who also played for me.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He plays at Oakland, so I have two at Oakland, one at Michigan State, one at Iowa, one at Cleveland State, and then I have Nate Duhon, who played for me.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing at Chicago State.
Okay.
You know, we have a lot of guys who are playing Division One. Then we got some guys playing at the Division Two and Three level as well. You know, Jeff Kane to play for me. He's playing at Olivet. I got a couple kids over at LCC, Tyron Wade and Muhammad Abdul Rahim. So we got kids all over playing. And you know, the thing that I'm most happy about is the kids are in school. And,
yeah.
And they get a chance to continue their basketball career. So that has always been my passion. You know, coming from Washington, D.C. at DeMatha High School, that's all Morgan Wooten did, the guy I played for. He talked about, you know, making sure you have your priorities in order, you know, with the God, family, school, and in sports. And those kids hear that from me every day in our practice sessions, in our film sessions, in our team meetings, constantly talking about that. And as you well know, Fred, you know, in the inner city, you have a lot of challenges and a lot of struggles with school cuts and different things and the decline of the family. And I mean, there's a whole lot of things going on. But the one positive thing that we have is that kids are coming out of Sexton, going to college and continuing basketball.
I was just going to say the two championships are wonderful. Those are the magic moments. Those are The picture is on the wall in your basement. But for a coach, I imagine, and I didn't realize it was six, I imagine having six kids at Division One and several more out, not only playing basketball, but getting an education, is a bigger kick for you than all the wins and all the trophies, isn't it?
Yeah, because to me, that's what it's all about, Fred, giving kids opportunity, you know, giving them exposure. You know, some kids, if you don't have the exposure and the opportunity, you just get caught up in the circle of whatever is going on in your everyday life. But, you know, basketball has presented me with a lot of opportunities, you know, and I just wanted all the kids to know that, you know, if you do well in school and you keep your priorities in order, that you'll have different opportunities. You'll have an opportunity to travel. You know, I got to play in Europe for a few years. You know, I lived in Sweden. You know, I played in a lot of different countries and stuff like that. And basketball afforded me all of those opportunities. So that's what I'm constantly talking to kids about, man. You can just do so many things, man, with education, and basketball will give you those opportunities.
Carlton Valentine joining us. Before I say so long, Carlton, your previous basketball career was, of course, here at Michigan State. Give me one Judd Heathcote story and what it was like to play for Judd with him just beating on you every day. Is there one that comes out in the top of your head?
Well, you know, he beat me up pretty good. So
yeah, I know it. I remember.
But, you know, I love him to death, man. He made me into a really, really solid basketball player. Obviously, I wasn't a great player, but I was a good player. You know what I mean? And I give Coach Heathcote all the credit. Probably the most funniest story I know, and everybody knows this. We're playing at Illinois. And this is when Illinois is really, really good, but we're giving them a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon Carr, who played with me,
mm-hmm.
he jumped in the air and turned the ball over. And when he turned it over, he threw it right to Coach Heathcote. But when he threw it to him, Coach caught it, and he was so angry, he screamed, "Aah!" and he slammed the ball and it punched him right back in the face. And so,
I have bloody nose.
Yeah. Do you remember that one?
I got video of it. Every once in a while, I fling that up on Channel 6, and I do a blast from the past. And I may do it this week now that you reminded me of it. It's the funniest video you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I was on the court during that game, man. And I would hate to mention that to him now. You know, I saw him this summer when he was in town, and, you know, we laughed and we joked about that. But, yeah. Hey, what a great guy Joe Heathcote, man. Just taught me so much, man, and gave me an opportunity to play Big Ten basketball and be around the game, and really made me love the game and kind of inspired me to teach the game. So, you know, what a hell of a guy, man, Joe Heathcote. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you're still in basketball and educating and teaching kids, Carlton. Thanks so much. Good luck tonight, and we'll see you at the arena, as they say.
Okay, Fred. Take care, my man.
Thank you. Carlton Valentine on Valentine's Day here. We've visited with Drew Valentine of Oakland University and his dad, Carlton, who's always a delight to talk to. We'll come back and change sports, talk some hockey with Red Wings General Manager Ken Holland, and remind you that we have a ticket giveaway again. We gave away Wisconsin tickets last night. Now we're giving away tickets, two tickets Sunday to Northwestern Michigan State Senior Night, 6 o'clock. Call 517-884-4783 to register your chance to win two tickets to the Northwestern game Sunday. 517-884-4783. 4783 Sports Talk 870 continues with Ken Holland right after this.
Mitt Romney rehashes his 2012 loss. And on the Today Show, Jeb Bush says he won't rule out a possible 2016 bid.
I won't, but I'm not going to declare it today either.
President Obama makes several cabinet nominations and sequestration gets real. I'm Lynn Neary. We go another round with Ken Rudin, our political junkie. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
We could get some light snow today, otherwise partly sunny, with a high of 35 degrees. There's a cloudy forecast for tonight with a chance of light snow and a low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, the high 36. Mostly sunny Friday, the high 40. This is Scott Pohl.
All right, back we are in Sports Talk 870. I want to take some open line after our hockey segment at 517-355-9527. That's 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or toll-free 877-952-7870. And I want to know from you, if you're a Michigan State fan, and the scenario develops Sunday, if Michigan State would beat Northwestern and Wisconsin, and you needed Michigan to beat Indiana for the Spartans to share a championship, could you sit there and root for Michigan? Even Tom Izzo would say, I would believe he's conflicted on this, because he says you just don't root for your arch rival. You can't do it. And I've heard Spartan fans over the years tell me they would never, ever, ever root for Michigan. But if it meant you shared the title, I want to know if you're a Spartan fan, if you dare root for Michigan on Sunday. Let's talk a little hockey first, though. I haven't spoken with Red Wings general manager Ken Holland in a while, and it's high time. Kenny, how are you?
Good, Fred. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Pretty good hockey match last night at the Joe. You win 2-1. Man, there's going to be a lot of 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 games in this crazy season, isn't there?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, obviously parity is in full bloom in the National Hockey League. Started in 2005 when we come in with the salary cap, and I think over the last 7-8 years, the drafting and developing and the dispersed, you know, the players getting dispersed throughout the league, it's all added up to a league where anybody can win on any given night. You just got to qualify for the playoffs, and there's you know, obviously Chicago is at the head of the class. They haven't lost this year. Anaheim is having a great year to this point in time, but from then on, if you look at the standings in the West, I think the Vancouver is the third most points. I think the 11th or 12th team is like 4 or 5 points down, so there's a lot of teams jammed up together, and it adds up to a lot of one-goal games.
I'm terrible with my memory, Ken. What year was it when we had a half season the last time there was a lockout?
95.
I thought back then, that's the year 2 years before you won your first cup. I thought back then, that was one of the best hockey seasons I've seen, because even though it was condensed, every game meant something. Are you finding that? Do you agree? And are you finding that this year, or is it a little too watered down because they're playing every other night?
No, I mean, I think there's great hockey. I think people that would have saw our game Sunday against Chicago, I have had many people comment that was a great hockey game. And you talked about last night, it was 2-1. And even though it was 2-1, I thought they had a lot of grade-A chances, and Jimmy Howard made some huge saves, some breakaway saves for us. You know, last week we were 1-1 going into a shootout in San Jose. It was 1-1 with 4 minutes to go the night before in L.A., and they scored late on us. These are playoff games. I think everybody understands that when the 48-game season comes to a close, someone's going to make the playoffs by a point or two, and it might even be more than one or two teams might make the playoffs by a point or two, and one or two teams are going to miss the playoffs by a point or two. So every game, every point is critical. Every game counts, and we're right in the thick of things. I like where our team's at, Fred. We've obviously have a lot going back to last June with the retirement of Nick Lidstrom and Brad Stewart heading to San Jose. We weren't able to. We were in the sweepstakes for Ryan Suter. He chose Minnesota, and we've gone with a lot of kids on defense. We've had a lot of injuries, but through it all, through the adversity, I think we're a deeper, better team today than we were a month ago. And as we can go along here the next week or two, if we can start to get guys like Val Filippula and Darren Helm and Mike Samuelson and hopefully Todd Bertuzzi eventually back in the lineup, we can start to get deeper and deeper. And our kids have got some real good experience on the fly here.
Ken, I've known you a long time. You're always a realist, even before your cup years. Realistically, going into this season, I know it was written and surmised that the Red Wings are in transition, possible non-playoff year. Were you prepared for that? I know that you've had some injuries. Realistically, did you go in and say, you know, if we just make the playoffs this year, that's okay? Or are you so spoiled, as Hockey Town is, that you expect to compete for a cup every year?
No, I think we can compete for a cup. Fred, those same things that I heard this summer were the same things I heard in the summer of 2005 or 2006 when Steve Yzerman retired.
Mm-hmm.
We went out in 2006, and our pro scouts found players like Dan Cleary and Mike Samuelson and Andreas Lilje, and we brought back Chris Osgood and brought back Dominic Hasek, and we had some young kids coming into our system that they were, it was Nick Cronwell and Yuri Hudler and Val Filppula and Zetterberg and Datsyuk were starting to develop. You know, we don't have a Zetterberg, we don't appear to have a young Zetterberg and a Datsyuk on the radar screen, but I think that since 2005 we've hung on to our draft picks. Other than the odd trade at the deadline, we've tried to look at the future. And you look at our team last night. We have two 28-year-old goalies. Jimmy Howard's really just coming into his prime. We've got a Nick Cromwell's 31. Everybody else in our defense is 28 years of age or younger. We've got a lot of forwards in their 20s. You know, this is a team that a lot of people thought was, at times through the years, was too old, and that was really by design. I believed we needed to be older when you looked at the quality of players that we had on our roster. But, you know, when I look at L.A. making the playoffs last year and Phoenix, they were the 7 and 8 seeds. In the last week or 2 weeks at different times in the standings, you'd wake up in the morning, they'd be either 9th or 10th, and they both got in. And they got hot, and one went to the finals and won the cup, and Phoenix went to the third round. We got a goalie, in my opinion, that we saw against Chicago the other day. We saw last night. He can be first star. He can win his games. And when you've got a team that's organized, Mike Babcock's got our team organized, and you got a goalie that can make saves, you can play with any team in the National Hockey League. So I don't know that the days, Fred, of us going out and out shooting teams 45-20 and dominating, those days are over. But we've got a team, I think, that we've got our two stars, Zetterberg and Datsyuk, can check as good as any stars in the National Hockey League. And again, I think we're well coached. We've got a good goaltender, and we've got to play our way into the playoffs. And I think when we get into a playoff series, we or any of the other 14 teams, anybody that qualifies for the playoffs has a chance to win the series as much as their opponent.
Kenny Holland, the Red Wings general manager, with us. The Blackhawks, 23 games, 43 points, no regulation losses. I know they're a rival. You're chasing them. They're already out of reach. How incredible is that to you, Ken?
Well, it's it's really incredible when you think about, we're talking about parity, and when you, I think everything is in compare. When you look at the, really it's Chicago and Anaheim has a tremendous record too. And then there's
nobody talks about them. They're 15-3-3.
Yeah, and then you've got basically from the like I said, from the third down to about the around to 11 or 12, you've got the rest of the most of the league, and then you got two or three teams are about 3-4 points behind again. When you look at the parity of the entire conference, and then you got Chicago that never loses. Obviously, they're doing something pretty special, and they got a tremendous team. I think they're real deep up front. Their goalie seems to be coming into his own. They're deep on defense, but you know, as we've seen throughout the years, when we've won President's Trophies or gone into series where teams, people have thought that we were the favorite. In a seven-game series, anything can happen: goaltending, injuries, puck luck, bounces. You know, there's a lot of real close games, so they certainly are the class of the Western Conference at this point in time. They're for real, and certainly they're going to have a bullseye on them as we head down the stretch. But again, I think that history tells you that once you get into the playoffs, you throw the regular season stats in the garbage, and it's a brand new season.
Well, yeah, you lived that. Again, my memory. What year was it when you had the magic season? How many points did you get and got bounced?
Well, I think the one year in 1996, I think we set the league record with 62 wins, and then coming out of 05-06, I think we had 126 points, and neither
wow.
team won the Stanley Cup. So you know, it's a long season, a lot happens, but certainly their accomplishment. Being undefeated basically halfway through a 48-game season really is incredible.
I'm so excited, Ken Holland, about possible realignment, not because of what it does to the league, but selfishly what it does to the Red Wings and in Detroit and Michigan, as we speak from Lansing, a lot of Red Wing fans here, that you'd be aligned in a conference. I never figured out why you're in the West. You'd be aligned in a conference when we'd see Toronto and the Rangers in the original six and the teams that you ought to play that are natural rivals more often. And then there's the travel factor. Is the realignment as welcome by you as it is me, and how possible is it that it's going to happen?
Well, you know, I'll give you a quick history. In December of 2011 at the Board of Governors meetings, when a decision was made, we were put in, the league made a decision at that point in time to go to four conferences, two teams of seven, two conferences of eight. We were in a conference of eight with our current division added in Dallas, Winnipeg, and Minnesota. But what we liked, we want to be in the East. We said that going in, but ultimately there's so many teams at so many issues. We agreed to go into this Midwest conference because we were going to play every team home and away. They were going to change the matrix of the schedule, and we knew that we were going to have Toronto, Boston, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Philly, Rangers in our building every year. The Players Association wouldn't sign off on it, and it brings us to today, where now realignment is a hot topic, and there's lots of rumors out there. Certainly our first wish, we're like you, we'd like to be in the East. We'd like to have our road games, more games in the start at 7 and 7:30. Less travel, great for our fans with rivals, the rivalries that we think we would have with some of the original six teams. I'm not sure where it's at. Certainly, there's lots of rumors. The media has lots out there, but nothing has been brought to the league. The league did bring something to all the teams about two, three weeks ago, and I think they've gone on to the union with it. Now they're talking to the union, so I'm not sure. I don't know where it's at this point in time.
Yeah, okay. So it's not a foregone conclusion. It's still up in the air.
It's still up in the air, yeah.
Ken, always nice talking hockey with you. I hope to see you soon. I don't get to as many games as I'd like to, but I appreciate your time today.
Always good hearing from you, Fred.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. We'll do it again. Thanks so much. Ken Holland, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings here on Sports Talk 870. One of my favorite guys when I was in Detroit for 17 years. He was always accessible, always available, and didn't give you a lot of coach GM speak. Pretty much straight from the hip. He insists they can compete for a cup. I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that. I understand why he says it. I don't know if they're right there yet, but I will say when you see the LA Kings winning the cup last year and some of the cup winners we've had in recent years, Why not the Red Wings? We'll see. I think their stars got to play better. I think Datsyuk and Zetterberg got to carry this team now that the Lidstroms and the Yzermans are gone, and they got to be, you know, not just leaders in the dressing room, because Zetterberg's a pretty good one, but more spectacular games on the ice. I just don't see them scoring enough, and I don't get why. This is Sports Talk 870. I want to go open line, 517-354-9527. Or 877-952-7870 when we come back. If the scenario develops, if you're a Spartan fan, will you root like crazy for Michigan Sunday to beat Indiana at the Chrysler Center? Or isn't it in your green and white blood to ever, ever root for Michigan? I want to hear from you. 355-9527. Don't get confused by the numbers. We also have a ticket giveaway line. Register for two tickets for Sunday's Northwestern Michigan State game at 517-884-4783. We'll give those away on Friday. I'm here all week. Sports Talk 870. This is Fred Heumann. Some open line. I don't do a lot of that. Coming back right after this.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This year marks her 20th anniversary on the court, and she turns 80. Our guest Jeffrey Toobin profiles her in The New Yorker. He says she may look frail and ready to retire,
but she is tough as nails. She works out regularly, and she is not leaving imminently.
Join us.
That was Fresh Air, coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
It's good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Our high today, 35 degrees, partly sunny, with a chance of some light snow. A chance of light snow and cloudy tonight, with a low in the mid-20s. Thursday will be mostly cloudy, with a high of 36, mostly sunny Friday, the high 40.
Back where you are on 870 Sports Talk. Sports Talk 870. Fred Heumann here until 2 o'clock. Let's go some open line. Let's say hello to Michael from Saginaw. I hope you're weighing in on... Are you a Spartan fan, Michael?
Yes, I am. I'm a Spartan fan. When I called last week, I told one of your talk show hosts that I prefer Troy Burke over Keith Appling. And the reason why I prefer Troy Burke is because of...
That'd be Trey Burke. Trey Burke.
Trey Burke, I mean, yeah. Over what he just did in the last minute of the game when they was playing on Michigan. But here's what I want to call you. I like to root for Michigan because they in the state here. But what I like to clarify, whatever, Thad Matta, I never thought of him much as a basketball coach, but I was really impressed how they played last night to Indiana. I really was. And I was just impressed.
Well, I think Mata's a terrific coach.
Okay, then. The reason why I didn't think he was, you know, because he had Greg Oden there and Mike Conley there, and they went to the Final Four, but they didn't pull it off. But I was just impressed on how tough. I think Indiana's biggest problem is somebody push them out in the paint. I really do. I think they got better skill players than everybody else in the conference. But when it comes down to rebounding and toughness and everything, it seems like they're being out tough. If you're being out tough at home, how are you going to be in the tournament playing like that?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, especially in the Big Ten. I think inside game is key there. And I think, you know, as Michigan State has lost three straight, not to put it all on Appling, but when your point guard doesn't play well, you're in trouble. And Oladipo, who was almost handed Player of the Year 2 weeks ago, he has struggled, and so Indiana has struggled a little more. I think your guard is everything. Your quarterback is everything, as Izzo says.
Do you think... I look at Michigan State's team. They got big guys like Payne and Nick's there. And the only big guy I really see like dominating inside the paint what Minnesota have with Mbakwe. I really do. And I just, you know, this is just the way college basketball to me is going. It's going more on the perimeter than the inside game where you could go and put the ball in for 5 feet in the basket and you could use your balance and footwork to be able to get easy baskets like that. Because I see in the Big Ten they got a lot of great coaches there too, but it's just the players. It comes down to the skill level of the big guys. I don't know if big guys are being – I know they take Florida to develop, but the guys, you can find some guys who can really dribble and penetrate and shoot, but the big guys there. I think it's just lacking in all the levels of basketball. So.
Yeah, I think big guys are important. And here's Tom Izzo said, just to, not to derail you, but to maybe off the beaten path, Tom Izzo said something after the Michigan State-Michigan game Sunday that caught my attention. Adrian Payne has played wonderful, but he said maybe those three-pointers he's taking out outside and hitting is a blessing and a curse because he wants them to be more of a force inside. It's great that Payne is hitting these three-pointers, but I want to see Adrian Payne, from a Michigan State perspective, do more damage in the paint. I think sometimes he falls in love with his jump shot, if you follow my drift.
I'm expressing to you, do you think, like, the way Butler plays basketball, do you think, because Butler is mostly an inside team, but they play real defense, they play physical defense, do you think a team like Butler, if they had better players, that Brad Stevens was a team like Butler would be able to compete in the, you know, the style of play?
Oh, yeah, because, first of all, I think Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches in the country. If Izzo left, for all the other guys they talk about being the successor to Tom Izzo, I'd hire Brad Stevens. He'd be my next Michigan State coach. We got to run. So you're rooting for Michigan Sunday, but you're partially a Big Ten State and Michigan fan, right?
You know, yes, I am, because you got the Big Ten Network, and they do a great job explaining the basketball. They really do.
All right. Thanks for your call, Michael. I appreciate it. That's Michael from Saginaw weighing in. Now, he's not what I was aiming for. It was great to hear from him, but I was looking for a Michigan State fan that just hates Michigan. And as friends I sit with at local watering holes and out at social functions that are Spartan fans and swear to me they would never, ever to their dying day root for Michigan. If they'd root for Michigan this Sunday, if Michigan State needed Michigan to win to allow State to share the championship. I don't know. Lisa Byington, Michael just credited the Big Ten Network, so my old pal and working partner Lisa Byington is checking in. She was in Bloomington last night, and I guess you were up till like 3 in the morning. That celebration went on forever, didn't it, Lisa?
Well, you know, I took off, actually. First of all, are we friends, Fred?
Oh, come on. Don't start with me, girl. I only got 6 minutes here. Don't go there with me. Save your arguments for Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, it's no fun. We
Wait a minute. You weren't,
like,
you weren't working last night?
Anymore.
You
no,
were.
Right.
I know.
But for what I had to do, I got post-game with the winning team, which obviously happened to be Ohio State. And while I was doing that, they began their senior ceremonies, which went till I think 1:30 in the morning. For my purposes, I actually got to leave. I stayed and watched some of it, but then we aired it live on Big Ten Network, and I watched some of it when I got back to my hotel. But, you know, that's something that Bobby Knight started way back, where you had the seniors talk in the microphone and say thanks to the fans, and it gets really emotional. Some people speak for 30 seconds, and some go for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, well, Izzo used to, as you know, when I came here and worked for you, ha ha ha, Izzo used to do his senior day before the game, and he got talked out of that, whether it was by Hollis or other people. He said, let's do it after the game, and you know, Izzo, well, what if we lose? And that has happened, I think, twice now, including last year after they lost, they had a big celebration.
Yeah, and the Bloomington thing last night really reminded me of that, but you know, I've kind of gone both ways. Like, if you were to ask me 6 years ago, what would you prefer if I was a coach? And I would say, hands down, I'd like to do it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I don't know, there's something that you're honoring not just the night or the day or the moment, but you're honoring the kids and their career. And there's something to be said in doing that and taking the time to do it. You know, when I was playing at Northwestern, we did it before the game, and you get introduced with your parents, you wave to the crowd, and then you play a basketball game, and then that's it, you know? And so, in this way, regardless of win or lose, you get to honor the players for their careers and 4 years that they've really dedicated to the program. And I actually have kind of swayed towards doing it that way.
You really played at Northwestern? I thought that was a rumor. I have no video.
Basketball and soccer, man. Remember when I played one-on-one with you and you didn't score
a
point?
I don't have video. I don't have video of you ever playing sports.
It was like 32-0.
Why do you always bring that up? The public doesn't care.
don't care.
No, they don't.
That you're completely inept.
So you, so do you have on late night talk radio last night? I heard Indiana taking some heat. You don't cut the nets when you lose. You have a problem with them cutting the nets after they lost?
Yeah, I do actually.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a they haven't won an outright title yet. I think you kind of wait for that. Having said that, you know, Crane is big on the moment and the fact that Indiana hasn't won a championship in many, many years. When he took over the program, the Indiana was the worst that it's ever been. And so I think he wanted, regardless of win or lose, he wanted the seniors who were, a few guys who bought into him and his plan and gave him a chance to be rewarded of that, regardless of win or lose. But, I honor the seniors, but I think cutting down the nets maybe takes it a step too far.
Who's going to win this Big Ten? Are we headed to a two- or three-way tie, or what scenario do you anticipate in the next 4 days?
Good question. I think it's funny every time a Michigan State person now has to root for Michigan.
Well, yeah, that was my question. Yeah, you've heard all the Spartans fans. I'll never root for Michigan.
You know what? I don't think you ever root for your rival.
That's what Izzo says. He's conflicted.
Yeah, you don't ever root for your rival. If they win a championship, it helps your rival, let alone it helps you as well. So I'm kind of in the Judd Heathcote camp in that. I mean, you know, all aside rooting for Michigan State or Michigan, I don't believe that you can root for your rival. I don't think you can.
Did Northwestern have a rival? Was it Illinois?
I guess that would be the closest rival. I think it's more of a rivalry in football than it is in some of the other sports. Actually, it's become more of like a marketing rival. Northwestern has bought into the phrase that they are Chicago's Big Ten team. Well, Illinois has taken, they didn't like that phrase because they thought that they were kind of Chicago's Big Ten team. So a lot of the marketing departments have kind of gone head to head, more so than the athletic teams.
So where are you next? You're covering the Big Ten women's tournament, right?
I am, yeah. I just pulled into Hoffman Estates, and it's a suburb north of Chicago, but I'll be here through Saturday. We have the Big Ten Network has 10 games, 10 out of the 11 on the air, and so I will I'll be roaming the sidelines in the court for all 10 games.
Well, we can't get there because we got so many things going on, as you know, working for me in the high school tournament and March Madness. So make sure you get me some good Susie postgame when they play so I can use it on Channel 6, okay?
I'll make sure to ask Susie, how do you feel? How about that? Would you like one of those questions?
Now give her a high. These writers, it's an old argument. I can't stand how right after a game, the beat writers and all the media start breaking down the game. Well, you played a box and won there in the fourth. How did that affect the game?
You don't even know what a box and one is.
Yeah,
you're
right. But I used to scream at my people and my interns, "Will somebody please ask how it feels?" Remember those days?
Absolutely. And as much as I made fun of you because I think it's the most simplest and most idiotic question out there, but you get the best response.
You get the best answer. They are begging to tell you how they feel. So just ask them for me. So ask Susie how it feels just for Uncle Fred, okay?
I'll make sure to write that down. I'm writing it down right now.
Did you ever score at Northwestern or did you just play?
I scored a few times. I wasn't necessarily a scoring point guard. I was kind of a pass first point guard. But I scored on you plenty of times, if I remember.
We got to go, Lisa.
One-on-one.
Thanks for your time today. I miss you. We got to run. Lisa Byington from the Big Ten Network and formerly of Channel 6. She's off the air now, so I can say she is the best local reporter I have ever seen at any local station in my 32 years in this business, and that includes me. And I have a pretty high opinion of myself. Ha, ha, ha. She's the best there is. She's with the Big Ten Network. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Talk 870. Much more coming for you.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.